Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today I'm sharing an incredible conversation I had with my friend Desmond Dixon, who has over $5 million in sales experience with personal enrollments in the thousands. He has worked in numerous industries and has brought his sales and marketing philosophy into several organizations. He first began his sales career in a corporate company where he went from intern to one of the top sales professionals in the region. After realizing the power of empathy, he left the corporate space to train and facilitate professional development in the workplace. Desmond is currently building a fast-growing sales team at an international startup and a venture digital marketing agency. Now, he started a podcast entitled Campfire Capitalism, which is all about consuming less and creating more. It is about growth tactics, blockchain, and hot business topics. It's a three co-host show at different stages of business and with different backgrounds that range from media, production, to tech. I cannot wait for you guys to hear today's episode. We're talking about sales, NFTs, art, podcasting, and so much more. Let's get started. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited. My on-demand summer coaching experiences are here. And you know, every day I'm asked a lot of the same questions from other online business owners and other entrepreneurs and different individuals who are just looking to level up right now and they need some kind of on-demand service. So as the queen of creating things that need to exist, I did just that. This is where you get access to me 5 days a week through voice and text support, and I'll throw in some video, and you get a 15-minute call with me every 7 days because accountability and support, I think, are two key factors that you need when it comes to running your business, and I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to be in your back pocket all summer long, starting today, the day you join. So we're going to get you organized. We're going to be in your house, in your digital space, brainstorming for the creatives, implementing new systems and procedures and operations, everything that you need in your business and your personal life, I'm here to help you get there. Maybe you have a new brand, maybe you need to update your LinkedIn strategy, maybe you need tips on how to grow your podcast. All of this is included in my on-demand service. Maybe it's marketing or setting up some passive income or revenue streams. There's just so many ways that I can help you, and I wanted to make something super accessible for everyone. So whether you need help personally or professionally, I'm here, and my on-demand summer coaching experiences are now available at KellyanneGorman.com. Check out the show notes and join today. Welcome to Kellyanne Cares, a one-of-a-kind show created to motivate, stimulate, educate, and inspire you personally and professionally. Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm an entrepreneur, patient advocate, content creator, and author. You may know me from the Everything is Messy book, brand, and podcast, but what you may not know is how hard I had to work to get me to where I am today. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And in this season, I'm more driven and extremely passionate about my purpose to help you save the time, money, and energy it takes to be happier and get healthier with your mind, body, business, and life. Tune in every week to hear raw, unfiltered conversations from myself and my incredible guests as we discuss trending topics, share stories of resilience, and chat about all things health, wealth, healing, and wellness. Whether you're here to listen, learn, or laugh, I promise to bring awareness and add more value to your day. Take this time to relax and recharge. Listen, life is short. Invest in yourself. Be loud. Be different. Be you. And most importantly, enjoy the ride. Buckle up, because today's podcast experience starts now. One more thing, sharing is caring. I would love your thoughts on today's episode. Head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe. I would truly appreciate it. Want to continue the conversation? Let's connect online. You can find me at KellyanneGorman.com, and all my social links are in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show. Hey Desmond, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kelly.
I'm so excited that you're here today. Where are you joining us from? Because when we met on LinkedIn, I immediately went to your profile and I saw San Diego and I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Me too. And you're like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm totally traveling. So where are you joining us from today?
From today, I'm in Crete, Greece, in this little beautiful town called Rhythmia. And it's a little old town, Crete, like castles and forts and stone path, like stone streets. It's pretty beautiful here. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I am so incredibly jealous. I used to live the nomadic life. I haven't done Europe yet. So I'm so excited for you. So thank you for taking the time. I know it's nighttime now, afternoon our time, for coming on to the show. So when I did my research, which I always do, I looked at your LinkedIn and I'm like, wow, you really have an extensive sales background. So that's what I really want to talk to you about today, because I think it's really important. I was in sales and still am for years, but it's so nice to hear different perspectives from people that have done really well by doing something that they love, especially when they pivot. So how did you get your start in sales in corporate America? Where did that all begin?
Oh man, I think we need to like maybe take it a couple years back when I was in college.
Okay.
I was a chemical engineer and I was in labs and I was like, man, this is boring. Like I just didn't want to, you know, sit and do the same thing every single day, but slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple buddies approached me. I was like, yo, man, you trying to get in sales? And I was like, sure, I'm willing to try it out. So I did door-to-door sales one summer in college, and I failed miserably, Kelly. Like, my first sales job, I bombed it and got fired. And I knew at that moment when I got let go that I wanted to do sales my entire life, because rest of my life, because I had this, like, hunger to, like, cause I knew I could do better, and I was so curious about, like, the connections, you know, all these guys were doing to get into people's houses, and they were making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year doing door-to-door sales during the summer. So that's what sparked it. And so when I got back to school, I was like, all right, I'm going to be a sales guy. And I, you know, I finished my chemical engineering degree, and I applied for nothing but sales jobs. I didn't apply for one engineering job with my degree. And yeah, and I ended up traveling all the way to Denver, Colorado with a couple thousand dollars in my bank account, and, you know, lived in a house with four other guys off of Craigslist, and built a multi-million dollar book of business to start making a boatload of money. And it was a heck of a ride.
When did you hop on LinkedIn, and did LinkedIn, because when I joined LinkedIn in 2012, I was working in private aviation then, and I used it as my Rolodex, and that's how I was so successful in that industry. Did you do something like that, or was this before LinkedIn kind of popped off, like in the sales industry?
Yeah, I didn't really use LinkedIn other than like a resume or like some type of like accreditation, like, mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm like a legit person.
Yeah.
I did old-fashioned cold calling, like old-fashioned picking up a phone and getting appointments with people and building relationships. That's kind of how I did mine. I had a list of numbers and names, and I had a process of like how I got meetings, and it was a numbers game.
I love that. And the most important thing you said is building relationships. I feel like, especially now, listen, millennials will never understand cold calls and door-to-door sales. Sarah Blakely started selling fax machines door-to-door, and now she just sold Spanx for multi-billions. Like, millennials will never understand our struggle coming up in the sales industry. Like, they're like, cold calling, what is that? You know, like, we really had a hustle, which I think where we are now in our careers, like, we really appreciate, like, that whole drive, like, what happened, like, the way that we got here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely more like being consistent than it is anything. Like it's like I tell guys that I'm like, you know, I used to, you know, train and you know, mentor. I'm like, yo, like you just get to focus on being consistent every single day. If it's reaching out to 10 people a day, reach out to 10 people a day, because those interactions compound, especially if you mix follow up with it, rather than like you get a list, you gotta call them all in one day, but you don't follow up, you're not organized, like it's gonna be overwhelming, right? You don't get into a cadence or a flow.
So oh, absolutely.
Always tell people to be consistent. That's it.
Consistency is key, I think, in anything. I write a lot about that in my book. But you said routine. Are you somebody that, I have a very strategic, like, AM, PM routine. I think that's something that's really important to me. Are you somebody that is like that as well? Or do you, like, just wake up and do your thing? Like, what does your morning situation look like before you get to work?
Oh, man, I am, like, I have a really sacred ritual.
Oh, my God, I love it. Okay, give us all the details.
So it's so funny how you bring this up, because before I started traveling the world and doing my business, I had like a 5 a.m., 4 a.m. wake up. I used to be a runner before I started traveling. I just got back into it, but I used to run like 5 to 12 miles a day, depending on where I'm at in training. And then I'll meditate. I have my bone broth, my vitamins. I'll read a book, you know, listen to some type of seminar. Usually I plan like my weeks out in advance. Like I go through every meeting I have that week and, you know, goals and like that on Sunday. So I already know, like I already have like a brief of like what I need to accomplish that day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I get after it. But that was in my hustle days.
Yeah.
Now that I'm like an entrepreneur and like, you know, have like people working for me and doing investing and all those other things, like I'm spending more time thinking than doing.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, like strategy and strategic work. So I I have more deep work time where like I remove distractions and all I'm focused on now is like I spend 2 hours a day like really focused on like, you know, accomplishing one big goal, right? And then I move on to, you know, what else is on my, you know, itinerary for that day. And now I only work a few days a week because I'm traveling and I want to, you know, I've been blessed to invest in some property and all things like that. So I don't need to make a bunch of money to sustain myself. So I'm transitioning more into that role now than from like I used to work 12, 16 hours a day and, you know, back in my, you know, sales warrior days. But yeah, now I'm more transitioned to, you know, owning more of my time.
When I lived in Las Vegas and I was working in luxury travel, I mean, I was basically like 24/7. And it's so funny because on my time hop, I had a video pop up when I was filming a TV pilot. And I'm like, I literally was working like 20, 22 hours on like random like fight weekend. I'm like, how did I survive? Like that hustle was unreal. And now, and I'm like, okay, if I want to write a new book, like I'll spend X amount of hours writing a new chapter. But that's the best part of being an entrepreneur. And I think that those of us that are successful do slow down and do breathe and do have a routine and just like relax at night and then schedule ourselves ahead of the game. Like I always plan my next week ahead on a Friday. And then I never go, when I go to sleep at night, I always know what's lined up for the next day. That way I can enjoy my life. Like I don't want to work 18, 20 hour days anymore. Like that was my old 20 something hustling life. Like that's not me anymore. So when you do have a routine like that and you are, you know, working your X amount of hours, what are some of the things that you do to wind down?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in I like taking walks and like it's just like my thing. Like I go outside, that's why I love traveling because I get to see new places and I really like just like walk by myself outside slowly. Really just unpack and just be really present. Also, I love to read, I love to write. I love photography. So I'm like, I'm not, I don't post my photography all over the place, but I just enjoy like just dropping in and being in into the moment, right? Obviously, writing is something I love to do, hanging out with friends, going to events, but events is not something I'm doing as I'm traveling the world. I'm doing more like tours and history stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just like to be present really and just kind of go with the flow and meet locals and hang out and meet people. And that's something I'm continuing trying to master because I came from being like a, once again, like a really big workaholic. And I learned like when I slowed down, I actually got way more stuff done, right? Because I it's kind of a crazy it's kind of crazy to explain, but you know, as you're going from like go 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 to like okay, how can I actually maximize it, what makes the most sense strategically right now, let me focus on the big things and you know let me chill and stay in the game for the long run, right? So
But what you
yeah,
said
I like
too, I think, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what you said too is you're present. And I think my old brand was called the Happy Workaholic, so I totally get it. And I don't think that we're present in the morning because we're just go, go, go. And now that we have a moment to like slow down, we really have new eyeballs like on the world and what we like. I went to school for photography, and it's so funny that you said that because when we were on lockdown here during the pandemic, like I would just go out and take pictures because that's like all I had left. I'm like, I really miss that. It's so therapeutic. And I'm like, it's just you kind of like go back to the simpler things, and then it's almost like we become a different person. This is just my opinion. And then we view everything with like new eyes. Do you feel that way? Like, and that's why you're allowed to like be more successful because you're not like in the hustle mode.
Oh yeah, I love you. Play with my camera, like with weird angles, and just try to get like, you know, just look at things from a different perspective, right? And I get out
I
of
love
like,
that.
I need to do something mode to just like, how can I capture this moment mode? Oof, that's, I love it. Like, you make me want to pick my camera up right now talking
Oh
about
my
it.
God, I love that. You
So
know,
fun.
there's this new lens that you can get to attach to the iPhone. I forget what it's called, but a friend of mine, he just bought it, and I'm like, that is insane. Because I saw somebody on the beach, and I had to FaceTime him immediately, and I'm like, oh my God, I swear to God, I'm watching this guy take photos of the waves coming in, and he has this weird lens like on his iPhone. He's like, I've never heard of that. And then sure enough, he found it and he bought it. I was like, I need that next. But it's so therapeutic, I feel like, and it's nice to like get the hell out of our heads every now and then too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, when you're building your sales teams, what are some of the characters and traits that you look for in a good quality person that you want on board in your business?
Number one is definitely coachability. And second is drive, because you can't teach those things.
I love that.
I mean,
And
those things back to back.
those are really good answers. Now, I want to kind of pivot into you're into NFTs, right?
Oh yeah, big time. I'm in a, I just got off a call with the designer. I'm actually hiring a designer full time, and I'm actually going to roll out an NFT. Be the
Oh.
first person to know this, but
Oh my God, I'm so excited because I want to do that so bad. So let's talk about that process. Like, how does that work? And give like a little brief explanation of what it is for the listeners that don't really understand like what this new whole amazing world is about.
yeah. So NFTs are non-fungible tokens. And really what they are is like their access, like it's a ticket. Like I like to think of them as you're buying something to be a part of something or to receive something in value. So I'll give you three examples. The first example, obviously, that people are aware of is art, right? Like there's an art market. It's you buy something that's scarce, and the artist is obviously just as important as the art because you're pretty much banking on that. This piece of art is going to be worth more in the future because this artist is going to become more and more popular, more and more mainstream, and you're betting on the brand, right? Another form is utility, right? So the Gary V's V Friends, you buy an NFT, get access to V Con, so it's almost like having a like a membership card, right? There's some where you're a part of a community, you can vote on a direction of the project and be, you know, pretty like you drive the direction, right? So it's like an LLC in a way, right? Like it's replacing the LLC corporate structure kind of model, like DAOs, so to speak, right? And there's just so many different applications, and there's, I mean, there are people coming out with more and more applications. Like I feel like almost every week there's something,
I
like a
agree, yeah.
strategy, because it's such a new space. And it's awesome because there's so many smart people going into NFTs, not only like developers and from, you know, Silicon Valley, but entrepreneurs, creators,
Children.
athletes. I mean, yeah, all types of people are going into the space.
It's crazy.
So I'm super bullish on it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So how did you already know the person that you're working with, or did you search out you were looking for a partner in that?
Yeah, so what I'm doing, I'm doing something so different, like with my NFT, like I'm playing the long game. So a lot of NFT launches are like with collections, and it's, you know, you use the hype to sell out the collection as fast as possible, and then, you know, let it ride in a third market. I'm actually doing an entirely different strategy where I'm doing a one of one, kind of like very artistic collection. And I'm actually airdropping it, and I'm connecting it with my podcast. So like I am essentially going to, besides sending like a bottle of wine or gifts to my guests who I'm bringing, I've been having some amazing guests, I'm going to actually give them an NFT, a personal NFT for them based upon the episode that we did, like something like really artistic. And I'm going to build a brand that way, and then eventually probably make them like give them some type of ownership or say in the direction of the podcast, because it's all about like they helped me build it. So that I want them to be a part of the success of it other than having an episode, right? So that would be my Genesis collection. So that's kind of like my strategy, like a drip style, and to give people their first NFTs or who are super successful who don't know anything about the space. So like that's really like my strategy with using NFTs right now. And then I'm gonna do charity stuff later with it, but that's what the original thing I'm doing right now this year.
I love that. And the thing with the NFT world is like, you could bring in so many different brains that didn't have access. Like, you're all going into a whole new world together, but also like the creativity amongst yourself and like including other types of people, it's like never ending. The game is never ending. Like, there's always more that you can keep coming up with and growing and helping others. And you just said charity. I think that's amazing. And I love that you mentioned the podcast because I wanted to ask you about your show too. As somebody that's developed podcasts for like 5 years, I love talking to other podcasts. I love podcasters rather. And
you are one of three. So there's three co-hosts for your show. And I don't know anybody that's done three. So how did your show get developed and come about? Because a lot of the shows I produced, they're, like they were two, but you guys are three. So when you came together, did you already know each other? Were you like, okay, I'm going to talk about this topic and I'm going to talk about, you know, the next one has their own topic, or explain that process.
Yeah, this is a good question. So my two other co-hosts didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. I knew both pretty well. One was my mentor for 2 years, super awesome woman, Heather Stafford. And the other is a really good friend of mine from San Diego, who's a, you know, video producer, media producer. And I just thought it would be really unique to have three different entrepreneurs on in three different stages.
Mm-hmm.
And really when we first started, it was just about like, hey, let's just give as much value you can and just like let it all, like let it rip, right, for the first 15.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of get in sync with each other. And then once we started getting guests on, we really wanted to have a format where, you know, we could you know, pull the story out of the person we're speaking with, and then obviously you know, have them also get massive value. Like, okay, what is your zone of genius? So it's like a really good balancing act. Like we're really building it in public, to be quite frank, right? Like, I mean, we're like, we hold nothing back, and we're literally refining it as we go. Like, for instance, like, you know, I learned something from you today. I'm like, oh wow, I'm gonna go implement that starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, as like, we want to be doing this for a couple months. We have a ton of episodes in the vault. I'm really like, you know, ton of resources, two full-time people doing this. And we're just making it better as we go. We're not like obsessed with it having every episode needs to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in love with the process of improving it.
And the listeners will know that, but that literally at the end of the day makes the best type of show. I've worked with so many podcasters over the last 5-6 years, and I've seen so many different, the left brain, the right brain, and everybody trying to come together and making sure everything's perfect. And like, everybody wants to be as creative as possible, but at the end of the day, you're doing it for a reason, to help others, right? To come together so we can all learn and grow. And there's so much more out there, right? So I love that you guys did it that way. I was so curious. Like, once I was looking into your show and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is so cool. I can't wait to ask him this. Like, I love that there's three. And then I started researching your co-hosts because I'm going to be on your show soon. And I'm so excited. And I love that perspective. It's so great.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I like, the podcast is something I look forward to like every day. It's so fun. And the people that you meet, it's just, I'm hooked. I'm hooked for life.
Yeah. I know, in the beginning, I was a solo show for a really long time. And then I brought on guests, and then when I went back to solo, it's just not the same. Like, the audience, like when I wake up and I have this like fire in my gut, like I have to talk about something or something happens, like I need to get on my mic. Like, now I'll do another solo show, but now I'm in full blown guest mode. And I'm like, shit, I really miss this. Like, talking to yourself, like it gets old sometimes, but that was just what I needed for my show at that time. But now it's just like insane. And just over the last, so I rebranded the show. Today's St. Patrick's Day, my favorite day of the year, by the way. We're recording, and I rebranded the show in the first, and the stats are up 308% in literally 17 days, which is insane, because I'm trying new strategies basically using LinkedIn and TikTok. So the world is like, it's insane what you can do with audio and then adding video on top as well. But the podcasting world, and I like that you mentioned that you were doing the NFT with it. That's genius. It's just, the opportunities are endless. And I love that you can be as creative as possible. That's why I love it so much now. I kind of got into it for a different reason, but now it's like, you literally can create something out of nothing. Like, I love writing scripts. I love doing all kinds of different like production. I've been working with a client for over 2 years now on her show. I haven't even touched her audio, and there's 15 months of files that we're just now organizing. And I'm like, we're in it for life at this point. And I came up with this whole like organizing system because she has a whole team, and the way that she's rolling out her show is very unique. There's nothing else like it out there. And I had to wait to get the files. So that's why the process is so long, just because the what I needed isn't there yet. So then I'm on my TikTok and I'm like, listen, here is what it takes to organize a show. And then I'm like, this is excessive. This is not the norm. But here's the Excel spreadsheet that I just had to create. And then when I tallied it up, I called my client. I'm like, we're at 14 months of audio right now that I haven't even listened to. She's like, what? I'm like, this is why you need an Excel spreadsheet. And I used to hate Excel, but now it's a joke. And I'm like, if I don't go viral on TikTok for these damn Excel spreadsheets, I'm like, I'm cutting ties. And she's like, do it, post another one. Like, it's just so crazy because everybody I work with and their shows, not what, like, they're so different. And that is, like, the best part. And then especially, like, bringing on guests, they're so different. Their guests, my guests, your guests, like, it's never ending. And I think that is just, like, the best part of podcasting is that you can go into an interview thinking one thing and come out of it completely different. And, of course, you always learn something and grow from the conversation. And that, to me, that's the best part. I just love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've definitely, my enthusiasm in podcasting has definitely spread to some of my friends and actually my girlfriend. Like, she's like all in on her podcast now because, like,
it's addicting.
It's so fun. Like, my clients as well. Like, I'm like, yo, you gotta, this is fun. Like, damn, it's great stuff. I love it.
Yeah. And like, you're able to get in front of an audience that you never, especially like, if you're using it to funnel sales, you know, you're in front of, I'm in almost 100 countries. I would never have that access if I was just sitting on LinkedIn or posting on Instagram. There's no way. But also, you know, originally I started this show because I was sick. So I wanted to help others that were sick like me. So that's why I started. And then I brought in my LinkedIn strategies and all of that. And I would always help people with their business and LinkedIn, but I had an autoimmune disease. And that was the reason why I started. I'm like, if I can get in front or somehow get this message to more patients and help them, my day is like, I'm good. Like, I just want to help one person every day. And it worked.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, well now, like, let's keep it going. And then it turned into a whole full-blown production business. So I'm like, this is amazing. Like, you just never know, you know, with podcasting, it's so crazy. Now, what do you have coming up right now? So you're living the nomadic life, you're traveling, which is so amazing. So what kind of projects do you have in the works right now besides the NFT? Like, what's in the future? What can we see coming out from you soon?
Yeah, good question. So next spot is Montenegro in Italy for the summer.
Amazing.
So there's a travel update. In terms of the business, I would say I am spinning out a recruiting agency for my consulting business just mm-hmm. because I get so many requests from entrepreneurs and friends about, like, hey, do you know any sales guys? And
that's
since
amazing.
I already have a ton of videos on training and a system, I'm just going to, like, create a temporary sales agency. So where, you know, some people don't need to hire a full-time person
mm-hmm.
and maybe they just need a salesperson for a sprint, you know, maybe a 90-day sprint or a launch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to set up, like, pretty much like the rent-a-center, like rent a sales guy
yeah.
or borrow a sales guy for 90 days and create win-wins there, like performance deals, which I love performance deals, leverage contracts,
mm-hmm.
it's win-wins, right? Low risk for them up front and lots of money on the back end. And then that's it for that. And then on the personal side, I am like quadrupling down on real estate right now. So I'm in the middle of doing a 1031 exchange where I'm selling a property for, like, you know, $50,000 profit. And I'm about to roll all that original money plus the profit into more properties. And then I'm investing in more capital in other properties. So I'm really, you know, focused on my real estate portfolio this year and building up those assets and passive income and, you know, that generational wealth to pass down to my little ones once I have little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really my big focus. So yeah, just traveling, buying more real estate, spinning out the recruiting agency to, like, kind of a temporary sales agency this year. And yeah, the NFT project, that's it.
That's it. I love the recruiting idea. That's amazing because I feel like in sales, like, you really want somebody to come from someone else, you know, like a great reference is key to anything. Like, I'm always doing my research. I'm always looking people up. That would save me time. At the end of the day, time is everything. Where do you spend most of your time online?
Definitely, probably Twitter. I love Twitter because some really smart people on there. It's just awesome. Getting, you know, their thoughts and their mental modeling straight from the source. I
mm-hmm.
think that's amazing. I really love audiobooks. I mean, that's kind of my bread and butter,
mm-hmm.
but I usually go on sprints now. Other than that, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't really consume so much on LinkedIn. I really don't consume on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. I post on there every now and then, but I don't consume it.
Mm-hmm.
And like my occasional movies when I go to sleep, right? I'm a big movie. I love movies. So that's about it.
What did you watch last?
What did I watch last? I watched something on Amazon Originals called Jack Reacher.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jack Reacher, a little series. I thought it was pretty cool. Me and my girl, we watch it. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, you should check it out.
I love that. Now, when you're on Twitter, do you utilize Spaces? What's the audio? They have their audio rooms, like Clubhouse.
I was on one today. It was nice.
Spaces, right? Twitter Spaces? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And you really like those? Because every day I'm like, I really need to get into this. But then, you know, something else happens.
Yeah, it's a nice thing, like, in between. Like, it's nice to just jump into one for, like, 10 to 15 minutes. I couldn't sit there for an hour and listen to it.
Oh, no.
I love the all-in podcast. I love listening to podcasts, obviously, as well. But, yeah, like, I like the scrolling part, the reading part of Twitter more than the spaces. I mean, I jump in when there's something trending and kind of want to hear what everyone's talking about. It's pretty cool.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's late where you are. Safe travels. Thanks again for coming on the show. And you guys, if you want to connect with Desmond, all of his links will be in the show notes. And we will talk to you again soon.
Boom. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Kellyanne Cares, a one-of-a-kind show created to motivate, stimulate, educate, and inspire you. And I hope that happened for you today. As I mentioned in the intro, I would love your feedback on today's episode. Head to Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app to leave a review for the show. I would truly appreciate it. For more information on myself, the show, my book, and the programs, products, and services I've created, visit KellyanneGorman.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter, join the podcast community, and check out the brands I'm currently loving. Let's continue today's conversation. You can connect with me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Kellyanne Gorman Official. All my other social handles will be available for you in the show notes. If you have a product, brand, story, or service you would like to share on the show, send me a message on KellyanneGorman.com today. As always, thanks for listening, sharing, and reviewing. I wouldn't be here without you, and I'm so grateful I get to do what I love each and every day. Wishing you a happy, healthy, positive, and productive day, and I'll talk to you again soon.